Amen. You may be seated. Oh, wow. You can just go home after that, right? I mean, that's just, woo. So you're wondering why I'm dressed so incredibly nice. Just want to let you know I've got a good wife, and she dresses me. Yeah, give it up for her. So this is my Tanzanian shirt, okay? And this is the closest I can get to Rosh Hashanah. You know what that is, right? It's Happy New Year in Jewish language. Yeah, Hebrew. That's it. So, yeah, tomorrow is a New Year's in Israel. So we want to pray for the nation, which we will do here today as we continue on. I think God is doing some great things, and we have to remember that nation because we are blessed to be part of God's kingdom. And it was through the nation of Israel that Jesus came. Now, how many of you know that Jesus was a Jew? He was, you know that? If you didn't know that, he was a Jew. And God brought us into his family because of Christ. So God, I pray blessing on the nation of Israel right now in Jesus' name. I pray, God, as they go into this new year, I pray, Lord, that they truly would seek after the true Messiah, that you would reveal your son Jesus to them. And Father, for all the barriers that keep them from receiving Christ, I pray those things would break down and they would discover the wonders of you. We ask in your name. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it very easy to find mistakes in others. Right? Maybe it's just me. So I've never, ever in my life played professional football. But I can sure tell you, when I'm watching football, all the mistakes the quarterback is making, right? Anybody with me? Throw the ball for crying out loud before you get sacked, right? I've never been a professional, not fundraiser, but a professional person dealing with money, whatever you want to call that. But I can tell you one thing. I know how you should be spending your money. You come to me, I'll tell you exactly how you should be spending your money. I've never been a professional driver. But I sure know when you're driving like you got your license from the dollar store. And so do you. It's really easy to point out faults and mistakes in others, isn't it? But sometimes we fail to see them in ourselves. Because guess what? You and I have one or two or three or four or ten, right? We all have mistakes, and it's important that we don't point fingers. Remember the old saying, you point and there's three fingers pointing back at you, right? So it's important that we understand that we've got to be doing some eternal self-examination. And we've been starting this series on agape and talking about agape, which is the word for love in the New Testament. It's the word that Jesus used over and over again to describe the love of God. And that's the pure, unconditional, selfless love of God. And we've been talking about a few things. We talked about what it is a few weeks ago. We talked about how it relates to God, and I want to talk to you about how it relates to you and what it should be doing in you. And I want to start by saying love, it has to be something that truly changes us. And now this thing isn't working for me again. Oh, here we go. It's got to be something that changes us. Let's try this again. You know, I love technology. How about we take a moment, look to the person beside you and say, I am so glad that we don't have to use technology in our everyday life. All right, here we go. It's going to work now. There you go. Love banishes. It banishes. Let's jump to a scripture in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made complete and perfect in love. Sonia, thank you. We didn't talk this through ahead of time, but wow. Did you kind of notice a theme here this morning? We sang that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And this last song we saw, we sang, it won't stop now. One of the lines says, there is no fear in love. And this is what I want to talk to you about. See, there's a couple of verses or a couple of words that really jump out there. And the first word is fear, and the second word is punishment. And the King James version, it says torment. Folks, the thing that's interesting here is this wasn't written to unbelievers. This wasn't written to the unchurched. This is written to Christians. This was written to followers of Jesus. And he says this, there should be no fear in your life when you're walking in the love of God. Unfortunately, that's not true, is it? Unfortunately, so many times we as believers are walking and living in fear. And again, Sonia, thank you. It becomes like a chain that keeps us from moving forward. And it torments and it paralyzes. I read a while back about a story of a lady. It was the middle of summer, and she went to put her groceries. You may have heard the story. She went to put her groceries in the back of the car. And she went to sit down in the driver's seat, and she hears a gunshot behind her. And she feels a whap on the side of her back of her head. And she puts her hand back there, and she feels something oozing through her fingers. And she goes, oh, dear God. And she just sat there and sat there and sat there in the heat of the car. And a passerby came by and saw her sitting there. And they said, are you okay? What's going on? She says, I've been shot. And I need help. So they ran inside the store, got the paramedics, and the paramedics came out and opened up the car door, and they moved her hand, and they found out what it was not that she got shot in the back of the head, but that she had a Pillsbury Dole dish in the back of the car that got hot and blew the lid off and hit her in the back of the head. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have checked my hands, okay? I mean, if it would have been blood or brain matter, I would have figured that out. But sometimes, fear absolutely cripples us and torments us, doesn't it? And it keeps us from being logical. That's not the way God wants it to be in our life. That's not the best that God has for our life. He wants us to move forward in a most productive way. In some people, fear even makes us sick. I was at the dentist a couple of weeks ago, and there was this high screeching scream coming out from one of the dentist rooms. And it was like somebody was being tormented. And I thought back in my bad years when I used to watch those horror movies and all that other garbage. And I thought, man, somebody's going through some serious stuff. And I thought it must have been a 3 or 4 year old. Funny, the girl came out and she's a preteen. And I thought, what is your problem? Well, she didn't feel any pain, but it was the whole concept. She got herself worked up in that situation that even if the dentist, though he had frozen her mouth, she just got so overwhelmed by fear. And sometimes, folks, fear gets a hold of us, and it just doesn't make sense. And we do things that don't make sense. John says here, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. He says perfect love will cast out fear. If we can walk in the love of Christ, if we truly understand that love and let it and fill our lives and bring it, take it in, folks, and say, God, just help me to love you and to understand your love. It does some incredible things for us. It begins to help us to overcome that fear. There's a Canadian psychologist and a professor of psychology at the University of Toronto. He's not a believer, but he's got some great wisdom. His name is Jordan Peterson. I don't know if you've heard of him, but Jordan Peterson, he does a lot of discussions and he does a lot of Q&As. By the way, he wrote a book. It's called The 12 Rules for Life. Again, it's not a Christian book, but wow, if you want to read something that'll challenge you, I encourage that book. He was answering some questions and fear came up. And he said this, the way you make people braver is not by protecting them, but exposing them to the things they are afraid of. Confront the fears voluntarily, and then you get stronger. We don't think that way, do we? We don't want to confront the fears. We want to get away from the fears. We want to change the circumstances. We want to be safe, thank you very much. I love my little Christian bubble, and I want to stay there, and we kind of like it, but God says, no, hang on a second. You've got to get beyond that, begin to understand my love, and overcome their fear. And that brings me to my next point. See, because love, true agape love, it empowers us. I love what it says in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. A few scriptures here, but let's read this together. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in what? In love. May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that ye may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You get it? You get it? We got to be filled with the power presence of the Holy Spirit. See, if we're filled with love, folks, with the love of God, he gives us that power to overcome those circumstances. Brings me back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You remember it, right? You shall receive what? Power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be what? To be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He says, look, when you ask God to fill you with his presence, to fill you with his love, to fill you with more of him, he endues us with the power to overcome those circumstances and those situations that bring us down. And it's crazy, see, because when you think about people outside of Christ, what they try to do to overcome and to become powerful, especially when it comes to certain people and it comes to some evil spirits and evil stuff. So we're going into Halloween, right? And it's a great big celebration, and you'll talk more about that at your Lyft communities. But I found it interesting that how people deal with fear or try to overcome some of this stuff. In some Irish cultures, what they do is they build a big, big bonfire on October the 31st to keep ghastly ghouls at bay, because they're afraid of fire. So they build this big thing, and that's going to keep them ghouls away, that's for sure. And in Chinese culture, and you may have seen this in some Chinese culture, there's a painting on doors, and it's a painting of two soldiers. See, way back when, like hundreds of years ago, there was an emperor, and I won't even try to pronounce this properly, Emperor Tsong, I guess. He was scared of evil spirits. So he had two of his guards that would stand at the door, and what they would do is they'd stand and guard all night. And when they stood and guarded all night, he felt at peace. I think all the guy needed was his mummy. Maybe he didn't have enough mom time when he was a young kid. But anyways, and they would stand at the door, and he thought, man, I can't make them stand at my door all night. So he had two pictures painted of these guys, and to this day you will still see some of these things. I find it interesting that in some places, this doesn't happen here, but in situations, people are so scared of you know, the vampires and all this stuff. Actually, I read there's a guy that built a house that is completely a concrete house that just in case we have vampires or so forth come to his house, he is safe, he can shut the door down. So what do people do? They carry one of these things. Garlic. It'll keep lots of things away, I tell you right now. I don't know about vampires and all. I digress for just a second, okay? But we had, when we grew up in Chilliwack, there was a family that used to eat this like an apple, okay? Now maybe you know people like this. But we used to go on Easter and Christmas, and we used to go caroling to different people's houses. And we would go to their house and knock on the door. And this is no word of a lie. You can ask Michelle. This is truth. We would open up the door, and it was like there's this wall. And it kind of pushed out towards you, this wall of garlic. It would hit you, and you're like, oh, so you could sing even better, because we sang quickly and we sang strongly, because the more you blow, the better it was. You blew the garlic away. But it's funny what people do when it comes to trying to get to overcome some of those things in our life. Paul says in this scripture, he says, may you be firmly rooted, firmly established. May you have the strength of God, that you may grasp the great love of God. Folks, God has given us power through his Holy Spirit, that we don't have to walk around with garlic, or we don't have to walk around in fear, or we don't have to walk around dejected and trying to somehow to conjure up enough strength to go through our lives. But if God's Spirit lives in us, he gives us that strength from day to day. Can I encourage you to pray for that? God, fill me with your love. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your presence, that I would be empowered to do the things you want me to do. God's agape love, it empowers, it also enables us to trust. Psalm chapter 13, verse 5, I love this. It says this, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation." I just want to say that David was not having a good time at this time. He wasn't having a good time at all. Actually, he was having a pretty rotten time. And you read this and you're thinking, what are you talking about? Well, if you jump back a couple of verses, in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm chapter 13, he says this, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? How long will my enemies triumph over me?" He's going through some deep troubles. He's going through some despair. He's sitting there and going, "God, I help. Help, everything seems to be crushing in on me." I'm wondering if you've ever been there. If you've ever been to a place and you're going, "God, where are you? It's more than I can handle." I love David. I love the Psalms because they're real, aren't they? Because we've been there. And if you haven't been there, you'll be there at some point in time. We've all been in those situations where we're sitting going, "God, what do I do?" And as he was wrestling with his despair, as he was wrestling with everything, he says something very cool. He says, "But I trust. But I choose to trust in the Lord my God. I choose, I make a choice because of what? If you go back, because of your unfailing love, my heart rejoices in you." See, he made a conscious decision. "Lord, despite the circumstances, I'm going to choose to trust in you because I know you love me. I know you love me. I know that the stuff looks overwhelming, but I choose to." And he loves you in your circumstance. And he wants what's best for you, but we've got to trust. Are you hearing me? We have to trust in the midst of the most difficult challenges. I've just read a book, or finished reading a book, by a guy by the name of Watchman Nee. And I don't know if you've heard of Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee was was an evangelist, a preacher in early 1900s, a Chinese evangelist and preacher. Powerful, powerful story. What this young man went through is unbelievable. How he stood strong in the midst of some deep, deep challenges as the country became communist. And as a communist, they took him and they imprisoned him for 20 years. And it's horrific, some of the things he went through. But one of the stories I really enjoy in this book was they went to an island, him and a number of his pastoral friends. And they went to this little island. They were going to share the gospel. And this island, just off the coast of China there, was very, very much in idolatry and in idol worship. And they specifically, they would worship this idol, which they call the Great King. And as they would worship this idol, they believed that at a certain day, as they brought this idol out, Great King Dawa is what his name was, as they brought this idol out, this idol would bless their land. And every time they brought this idol out, they would have incredibly beautiful weather, and they would have a wonderful, wonderful day. Well, this one day, it was 2 days before this idol was to come out and to bless their land. One of the guys, one of Watchman's friends, walked up to one of the leaders in their religion and said, "You bring your idol out, and it won't be a nice day. You bring your idol out, and I tell you something, it's going to be nasty. It's going to rain." They looked at him, and they laughed at him. They said, "It has never, ever, 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 ever rained the day that we brought our idol out. Never." So they laughed at him, but they said, "I tell you what, if it rains on that day, we will believe in this Jesus, or we will at least investigate this Jesus. Watchman got word of it, and he said, what are you doing? You don't test God. So they did what we should all be doing more of. They got down on their knees and say, okay, God, we're in a little bit of a predicament here. We kind of need help. So could you kind of come down, and a little bit of rain would be great. The day of the where they're going to bring the idol out, it was blistering hot. Sunny day. Gorgeous day. But Watchman and his crew, they said, no, you know what? God has spoken. We believe God is going to come through. It will rain. Prepare yourself. It reminds me of another story, doesn't it? You remember Elijah and the little hand cloud? Yeah. So they said, prepare yourself. It's going to rain. It's not going to rain. At the time that the idol was supposed to be brought out, a few drops started falling. Clouds came in, a few drops. They said, no, we don't want drops, God. We want a deluge. We want rain. And he said it rained so hard that when they brought that idol out, they couldn't even walk for the water. They said they dropped the idol, the fingers broke off, and his head twisted. Well, we got it wrong, they said. We got it wrong. It was the wrong day that we were supposed to bring the idol out. We'll do it on another day. A couple days from now, we'll do it again, because we got the day wrong, obviously. Guess what happened that other day? Oh, it rained. It rained. See, folks, my point is this. God can be trusted. In your circumstances where it seems like, really? How am I ever going to go forward? You can trust in God. And even when it doesn't rain, and even when the situation seems hopeless, you can still trust in God, because he does not let us down. He comes through for us. And if we have that love of God in our lives, and we trust in him and say, God, I'm going to love you. I'm going to be true to you no matter what. He will come through. God's love can be trusted. Lastly, God's love, it quiets. I'm not talking about, shh, quiet. I'm talking about it brings peace. It brings contentment. It quiets an anxious soul. Here's what it says in Psalm 90, verse 14. I love this. It says this, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. You get that? Satisfy. Isn't that great? It's a God, there's so many things that I that are pulling me back and forth, and I got so much happening today, and I don't know which way to look. And the psalmist says, God, just satisfy me right here, right now, as I enter this day in the morning. By the way, it's the best time to do your private time with God is the morning. Okay, if some may do it in the evening, that's fine. I love the morning because I'm just saying, God, it's you and me right now. I don't know what this day is going to bring, but I trust you. And God in his love will satisfy us as we begin to trust him regardless of what. And you know, I love when you go to Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. It's interesting because when you read this verse, verse 10 says, the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet his span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. And you're going, okay, wait a minute. This is the same psalm. Why are you talking about sorrow and troubles? If you look in the context here, folks, if you look in the context of what the psalmist is writing, especially in verse 8, you find out that this psalmist, he's talking about a person living in secret sin. He was living in a way that was not right with God. And he says, yeah, you know what? Guess what? You live in that way. You live in a way that keeps you from God. You live in a way that you're at church on Sunday saying whatever. And then Monday to Friday, you live differently. And you're living in secret sins. How can God satisfy your life? The length of days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Doesn't sound like satisfaction there. His span is but trouble and sorrow. Now, we as believers, we face our trouble, we face our sorrow. But here's the thing, through Christ, through his love, through his strength, we can be satisfied in him if we're walking in the right way, if we're living in his love. Folks, he brings that quietness, that joy, that peace. I remember years ago, I used to work at a drywall, packing drywall. How many here ever packed drywall? You know what I'm talking about when you're saying pack and drywall? It's not the funnest job in the world, okay? And one of the things I had to do is I had to sweep drywall dust in the shop, and so there it was ugly, it was dirty, it was messy, when we didn't have orders to go out. But I remember sweeping drywall dust, and I'm like, oh yes, yes, yes! I was so excited. I was beside myself excited, and I couldn't wait because a few months later I'm gonna get married. And I was super, super stoked. See, here's the thing. If we can look at and focus on the love of God, if we can focus on the things he has for us, even in the dust of our lives, he can bring satisfaction. He can quiet our soul. He can bring us peace. He can bring us that joy. Psalm chapter 62, verse 5 says this. This is love. Well, that's the wrong one here. Basically, what it's saying to us in Psalm, that's the wrong verse. Psalm chapter 62, verse 5 says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. My hope comes from him. Find rest in God. Find rest in God. Folks, you know, I'm thrilled that God puts his love in our lives. And I'm wondering, when we examine ourselves, when we look inside of ourselves, and we think, and we allow, more importantly, God to examine us, do we find that hope? Do we find that peace? Do we find that rest? Or is there a turmoil? Do we find the love to take what we have and to reach out to others?